Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Breaking right now, pro-Palestinian protesters are making their way through downtown Raleigh. Good evening, and thanks for joining us tonight. I'm Julian Grace. Well, this is video from the protest. At one point, it blocked the road on East Hargett Street near Moore Square. You can see it right there. WRAL's Carly Haynes is live there tonight. And Carly, what are you seeing right now?
Julian, it just wrapped, but these pro-Palestinian protesters have been coming to Moore Square nearly every Sunday since October 7th when the Israel-Hamas war began. But this is the first time that we've seen police block these protesters from marching in the street. There was a back and forth between these demonstrators and police here earlier where protesters chanted, "Let us march." An officer here said typically when there are planned protests, they're provided the protesters' route in advance so officers can block streets along the way, specifically in this case because they often have a truck leading that march. Police say they did not have the route, so officers could not let them through with their vehicle. The group did eventually ditch the truck they have leading the group, and they were able to continue marching.
Nothing will stop us, honestly. Nothing will stop us until this genocide stops. We are humans. We see humans being killed for no crime, for no reason. These are innocent humans, innocent civilians.
And this block lasted for about an hour. The organizers, as well as some of the people in attendance, said this was specifically a rally speaking out against U.S. aggression in Yemen and U.S. aid to Israel, they say. Julian?
Protests continue. WRAL's Carly Haynes reporting live for us in downtown Raleigh tonight. Thank you, Carly. Well, we have breaking news right now. Tonight, three U.S. troops are dead. Over two dozen others are injured after a drone attack in the Middle East. The latest reports say 34 troops were injured in the attack. Now, this is the first time U.S. troops have been killed in the Middle East since the Israel-Hamas war. The deceased troops have not been identified, pending notification of next of kin. Now, this happened in northeast Jordan near the Syrian border. According to the United States Central Command, U.S. officials say an Iran-backed militant group fired the drone, and it appeared to come from Syria. This is a live look now at the White House. President Biden is set to be there tonight after his day in South Carolina. The president did release a statement, though, saying the U.S., quote, will hold all those responsible to account at a time and in a manner of our choosing. We have reached out to Fort Liberty to see if any of the troops killed or injured were based there. Now, authorities have not responded at this time. You can expect to see ongoing coverage of this developing story on NBC Nightly News at 6:30. Also, stick with us for the latest on WRAL News at 11, the news app, and our website, WRAL.com. Well, we stay pretty dry this afternoon, and there's a little bit of chill right now returning to the air. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione joins us now from the WRAL Severe Weather Center. And Anthony, how low are we going to see these temperatures go?
That's the question, Julian. It's going to be another night for us, or at least a night as we head into the next couple of hours, where I think we're going to want that heat, especially by tomorrow morning, 30s and 40s. I'll show you that here in just a second. Let's talk about where we sit, though. We have this cold front come through. If you've been outside at all this afternoon, you've probably noticed, A, the winds are pretty breezy out there. We're seeing gusts up to about 15 to 20 miles an hour, and temperatures as well, down about 5 to almost 15 degrees compared to where we were this time yesterday. What does that translate to? Well, we're already at 46 in Roxborough, 48 in South Hill, 58 in Clinton. It will take a little bit of time for those temperatures to go down, but I do think everyone's going to be cold tonight. 45 there right about the time we get to midnight into the early morning hours on our Monday. We're looking at 30s and 40s for everyone, Julian. So it's going to get chilly tonight. We have more cold nights on the way, but we'll talk about the afternoons, how most of our week looks, and our next system coming through here in just a few minutes.
Okay, thanks, Anthony. A Chatham County woman is facing 10 counts of animal cruelty after 44 dogs were seized from her property. Six of the dogs were found dead. Deputies say this happened at a residence on Oakley Church Road in Bear Creek on Thursday. They say someone called the sheriff's office concerned about the animals' well-being. When authorities arrived, they say they heard distressing sounds coming from a large number of dogs. The 38 surviving dogs are receiving care from veterinarians at the Chatham County Sheriff's Office and Animal Resource Center. They say the dogs' conditions varied. Some of them were dehydrated and had parasites, matting, malnourished, or had a combination of health concerns. Alicia Culberson is scheduled to appear in court on Wednesday. A visitation was held today for one of the four teens killed in the Johnston County crash last week. The service for Samaj Williams was held at Sanders Funeral Home at the chapel there. He will be laid to rest at 2:30 tomorrow afternoon at the Bridge Church in Smithfield. There was also a funeral services for one of the other victims, Freddie Sears, on Friday. Freddie and Samaj died early Monday morning in a high-speed crash on I-95. Alan Lockamy and Christopher Jackson were also killed in the single-vehicle crash. The family of a woman killed by a hit-and-run driver in Durham is still seeking answers nearly 1 year later. Tashia Gurley was struck while walking along Liberty Street. WRL's Laura Levine sits down with her mother, who's fighting to keep her name alive.
That's her face. That's when you look at that, you could see how peaceful she was and how happy she was.
This is the face of a woman known as the life of the party, a personality that will light up any room.
She was a beautiful soul. Could sing, could dance, could rap, you name it. Anybody that met her loved her. You could not love her because she just, that's just who she was.
Anita Gurley tells me she continues to relive this scene, this horrific night when she learned this bright light was dimmed. 45-year-old Tashia Gurley was struck by a driver who did not stop while walking home from work on Liberty Street last February.
I go through grief just practically every day. Some days I don't even get out of bed. Some days it's just hard to eat. I go through a lot.
That grief is even more difficult without any updates in the case. DPD tells me they've made no progress, nor have they been able to identify the make or model of the car. It's one of three hit-and-run cases in 2023 that remain unsolved.
To the person, you know, you've forgiven. You know, you can never bring her back, so I don't hate you. But do yourself a favor, because I know you're not sleeping. How could you?
Approaching the one-year anniversary of her death, she's praying for closure, for justice.
Just to know that I could move on in life, because I'm kind of stuck right now. And my days is not good like they used to be.
A vigil planned next month to remember this loved soul also aims to get support in solving the case.
And I'd say to the community, if y'all know something, if you've seen something, or if you heard something, please say something. Please.
Laura Levine, WREL News in Durham.
Miss Gurley is so strong. Now someone can call in with that critical tip. As for the vigil is scheduled for February 24th on Liberty Street, where she was killed, Durham Police is asking anyone with information regarding this case to give them a call. Wake County deputies are investigating a shooting that left one man seriously injured this morning. This was the scene when the WRL News breaking news tracker arrived just after 8 this morning. It happened at a home on Piney Grove Wilbon Road near Holly Springs. Deputies say when they got there, they found a man who had been shot. He was rushed to the hospital. No details on the suspect at this time. This is an active investigation. The Raleigh Police Chief is meeting with the Glenwood South Business Alliance tomorrow for a conversation about reducing crime. Here's the topic of discussion. RPD added officers in Glenwood South and the downtown business district in September. Since then, there's been a drop in crime in the Glenwood South area compared to the same time the year before. Police Chief Estella Patterson plans to talk about the crime reduction work, the new city noise ordinance, and more at tomorrow's private meeting. It's happening from 7 to 9. The Southern Pines Police Department is asking for help identifying the people they say are breaking into and stealing cars. Here's an image of them right here. Police say the break-ins happened in the Mid-South Arboretum neighborhoods last night. They are asking anyone who may have security camera footage of the suspects to contact police. Investigators want to remind people to lock their vehicles and please do not leave any keys in their vehicles. Firefighters with the Sand Hills Regional Fire and Rescue College in Moore County trained with the ATF agents on how to recognize explosives this weekend. They learned how to recognize various components and use compounds used to assemble explosive devices. ATF agents set off devices made using different components, including dynamite and C4. Five people are displaced after a fire in Fayetteville. Fire officials say it happened on Locksley Drive just after 1 this afternoon. They say the fire started in the kitchen. Now, all five people were out of the home when firefighters arrived, and they were able to quickly put out the fire. Firefighters say the fire started accidentally. No one was injured. All right, still, we have so much more to talk about. Students at NC State are funding an end to overdoses on college campuses. How they're doing it, their own personal experiences has left them inspired and their efforts. Plus, climate protesters vandalize the Mona Lisa in Paris. How the $860 million painting was protected. Ah, what a beautiful sky over Franklin Street in Chapel Hill. What a nice night to go out and get a nice cup of joe, or coffee, I should say. All right, welcome back. Concerns about student safety are rising, and that's leading to changes at North Carolina schools. Soon, every public school in the state will be required to have a threat assessment team. They'll be tasked with investigating and reporting tips about concerning behavior. That includes threats of violence, bullying, or self-harm. School officials say these teams can save lives, but they come at a time when staffs are stretched. Some experts worry kids won't get the help they need. For more on the teams and how they work, visit the education section of WREL.com. An NC State student is raising funds to help fight overdoses on campus after the university saw 14 student deaths last year, including at least 2 fatal overdoses. Alyssa Price is a sophomore. She says she lost 2 friends to overdoses and wanted to do something to help save others. That's why she's raising funds to provide Narcan, a medicine that can reverse opioid overdose, and is free to students. The university has increased resources after last year's tragedies. Price says this is one area she felt she could do more.
They created a bunch of preventative measures last year, but we did not have the part that was, what if it happened? And so this is, what if it happened? And it's a primary response before the first responders come.
Alyssa is making a difference. NC State Prevention Services does provide free Narcan kits to any campus community member upon request. The university says it has distributed 744 kits over the last 2 years. Price has started a GoFundMe to help raise money, and so far, more than $1,500 have been donated. I know that number will only continue to grow. Well, part of I-40 in Johnston County will be closed at night this week. Here's why. The bridge work will require I-40 West at US 70 to close for several hours. The closures are happening between 10 p.m. and 5 a.m. Monday and Tuesday. Drivers will take a detour at exit 312 as needed. This work is part of the project to complete 540. All right, listen to this story. Climate activists threw a can of soup on the Mona Lisa at the Louvre Museum in Paris today. Video shows 2 women throwing a red liquid at the painting before crossing the wooden barrier. Now, following the soup throwing incident, museum workers were seen rushing to block the view of the activists and the painting. The Louvre says no damage was done to the Leonardo da Vinci painting, which is protected under armored glass. You can see that glass right there. Wow. All right, Anthony, looks like some people are having a little fun in the mountains with some snow.
Yeah, it's interesting, Julian, with this cold front that came through. We're seeing a lot of some of that chill in the mountains where we're seeing this beautiful winter shot right there. It is very windy, though. This is our beach mountain camera. They're making the snow, but it is just flying there off in the distance. And I've been watching lots of people, though, out skiing and just snowboarding, enjoying it. Where we are seeing kind of the impacts from this cold front back here at home, definitely our winds and temperatures. If you stepped outside at all, it is noticeable that those temperatures have gone down. Also, though, a beautiful sunset out there. We are watching this here, and the clouds kind of just making for a really nice shot this evening. There's our North Hills camera. You can see traffic, of course, moving along smoothly. Everything looking good. It's just going to be a chilly winter evening for us. Where we sit currently here, we have this front that came through. It's currently offshore. 2 centers of low pressure bringing some rainfall, some snowfall as we get up closer to, let's say, Ohio, Pennsylvania, areas like that, even some snow up into New England. region. What we're going to see as we go through the rest of tonight, now that that front has pushed offshore, is going to be the winds kind of sticking with us. 5 to 10 miles an hour for most of us is what the sustained wind is currently, meaning you walk outside, that's what's going on as far as a gust potential is concerned. The gusts are right about, let's say, 15 or so, but the sustained winds are 5 to 10. 54 degrees currently in Raleigh, Durham, Goldsboro. Everyone's seeing that 54 there in Rocky Mount, 46 in Roxboro, 58 in Clinton. Not a huge wind chill factor, but the wind out there right now might make it feel a degree or two cooler. We go through this evening. We're at 50 right about 7 o'clock, 48 at 9, 46 at 11. The winds will likely stick with us, and I think we'll keep the cloud cover as we go into tonight. Perfect night to watch football. We have our NFL game on Fox 50 coming up here in just a little bit. 65 for the San Francisco game there and the Detroit Lions. It's looking like a great forecast out in California. No issues for them, just a few clouds. Should be a great game here as far as the weather is concerned and just in general there on Fox 50. We go forward through this evening there. We keep some cloud cover with us. You can kind of see the general direction as those winds blow those clouds in there from the north of us. We're going to watch that through tonight into early tomorrow morning. Maybe a light sprinkle possible for north of the triangle. I really think most of us are going to be dry tonight. Some areas, though, did see some light rainfall earlier today. 53 is our normal high for this time of the year. Pretty consistent week headed this way. We're at 55 on our Monday, right at that normal on Tuesday. Wednesday will be our next system coming through, even late Tuesday night into Wednesday morning. That's when we get some rainfall. Wednesday's looking kind of dreary at this point. 57 on Thursday, then we go to 60 by the time we get into our Friday. Sets the stage actually for a pretty nice forecast as we go into next weekend. But again, Wednesday looks like the focus at this point. When we look ahead of storm systems coming through, it's just going to be kind of a wet and raw day, if you will, on Wednesday. 48 degrees. We keep the cloud cover. It's going to be raining off and on through the day. That'll be a good day to plan for the rain. Otherwise, we're at 55 tomorrow, 53 on Tuesday. Morning temperatures still in the 30s, so it will be a couple of mornings to bundle up with the winter coat. 60 on Friday, and then Julian, as we look ahead to next weekend, looking great in the 50s there with some sunshine.
All right, thanks, Anthony. Casey, plenty of basketball games to choose from today.
Yeah, today is Ladies' Day, of course. All three ladies' ACC Triangle teams in action. Who fell on the wrong end of an upset? Plus,
I feel like the game was maybe taken from us a little bit.
Speaking of upsets, Brad Ronnell not happy about last night's finish. Here's John Shire's response next. Number 7, NC State on the road for a second straight game. Up north at Boston College this afternoon, starting with 5 players averaging in double figures. You're looking at 3 of them right here. Let's get you out to the Conti Forum for the action. The Eagles at 3-5 in ACC play. They would test the pack early. Sanaya Rivers going to attack the rack. What a finish for 2 of her 15. State up 3 after 1. Isaiah James has struggled on the road recently from a 3-point range. This one, money. That would spark a 16-3 run from the pack. Westmore's group up 16 at the break. How about Madison Hayes there? A little baseline. The Eagles chipping away in the fourth. James inside to Mimi Collins up and in for 2 of her 17 points. The pack would pull away for good, though. James, 24 points, leading State to an 82-61 win. To John Paul Jones Arena, number 20, UNC taking on Virginia, part 2. Heels start hot, not because of Deja Kelly, but how about freshman Renaya Kelly? Back-to-back triples, she goes for a career-high 20. Later in the first quarter, here comes Deja Kelly, drives to the rack. Heels up by as many as 11. Second quarter, though, the Hoos going to run, outscoring Carolina 21-9 to take a 3-point lead into the half. Third quarter, UNC down 5. Alyssa Usby, the reverse finish here, puts the Heels within 3, but the 1-7 Virginia Cavaliers put up a big fourth quarter to put this one away. It's upsets in Charlottesville, 81-66. Heels move to 7-2 in ACC play. To the U, Duke taking on Miami. Back and forth, first quarter, Blue Devils down 1. Ashlyn Jackson pulls up just before the buzzer, Duke on top. Blue Devils trailing by 10 now after the break. How about former Blue Devils, Shy Day Wilson? We've seen her do that a time or two, the corner 3. She had a game-high 17 against her former team. Final seconds now, the third backdoor cut to Jaden Donovan. She had 10 on the afternoon, and that cuts the deficit to single digits. Blue Devils keep chipping away within 6 late, forcing the turnover. Aluchi Okanawa on the break makes it a 4-point game, but time runs out. Duke falls 64-58.
Well, it's NFL Championship Sunday. Chiefs are headed to the Super Bowl. And now when our newscast is over, flip to Fox 50 for the NFC Championship Detroit at San Francisco. Kickoff at 6:30.
And feel like the game was maybe taken from us a little bit. It shouldn't be decided like that. It's hard to win here for a lot of reasons. It really is. And tonight was an example of that. That's all I'm going to say.
Clemson men's basketball coach Brad Brunell not impressed with the officiating at the end of last night's game inside Cameron. A last-second foul called on his Tigers as Tyrese Proctor was driving to the hoop. That would send him to the free throw line where he sank one to tie and two to win in the final seconds. As for Duke head coach John Shire, he said he wasn't going to play that game of, you know, going after the officials. And instead, he praised the Blue Devils' effort.
All I know is I'm proud of my team, man. I'm proud of my team for finding a way to win and playing through contact. Like, look, I think there's a lot of contact both ways. I'm not sitting here and saying there's one way or the other. A lot of contact both ways, and that's part of playing the ACC. You got to find a way to get a win. And the play that Flip made and the play that Tyrese made were big time.
Hometown calls, Julian.
All right, thanks for joining us. Good night.